The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and those sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
In our reflection on the Pentecost event, let me first appeal for a few moments to those who are in Bible study. Some background on the meaning of Pentecost. You may remember on last Sunday, our first reading came from chapter 1 in the Acts of the Apostles. Today's reading comes from chapter 2. And in chapter 1, you will recall the event of the ascension of Jesus into heaven, how he takes his disciples out to the Mount of Olives, and he teaches them, and then he says something interesting. He says, "Stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you." It tells us that he appeared to them for 40 days in various ways, and now he is going to ascend into heaven, and he said, "Stay in Jerusalem. You are not ready to preach the word until the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And therefore, they go back into Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. That's 40 days after the resurrection. And now we come to Pentecost. The word Pentecost comes from a Greek word meaning 50th. The Jews celebrated Pentecost 50 days after the Passover. It was one of the three great festivals of pilgrimage for the Jews. On these days, the Torah demanded that all men would come to Jerusalem for the festival days of celebration. One was the Passover, and then we had the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a long story. And then we have Shavuot, which is today, the feast, sometimes called the Feast of Weeks. Since it was 50 days after the Passover, it was 7 weeks. 7 times 7 gives us 49. And then we have the Shavuot on the 50th day. So it was a harvest festival originally. And this accounts for the fact that there were so many Jews in Jerusalem from every place with every kind of language. They were all in Jerusalem to celebrate this festival of Shavuot. The second thing that's interesting in this narrative has to do with the drama. Now, the drama of the sound of the loud sound of wind and the fire, tongues of fire, and the language, all this drama is meant to emphasize a radical spiritual transformation. And in order to emphasize that, Luke builds in a whole committee of miraculous and extraordinary things to indicate this radical spiritual transformation that has to happen before they can preach the word. They cannot go forth until the power of the Holy Spirit is given to them. The languages are of some interest to us. Much is written about the languages. By the way, if you go to a Catholic bookstore, even our bookstore, you can find many books on Christology, on Christ, many on Mariology, about the Blessed Mother. You'll find many books on the Creator God, the Father. But you will really go a long way to find a book on pneumatology, which is the theology of the Holy Spirit. Somehow it escapes our attention. It's difficult to grasp. Therefore, we shouldn't try to grasp and understand it. We should experience it. So let me speak a little bit about the experience of the Holy Spirit, rather than try to navigate the theology of the Holy Spirit. The languages are of some interest to us, since each one hears the gospel proclaimed in his own language. Now, some of the charismatic persons think it's a certain kind of spiritual babble, that you need somebody with the gift of interpretation to understand what was said. I don't think that's what this means. This is a statement that when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they will preach in a language that everybody will understand. In the power of the Holy Spirit, the old, the young, the sinners, those in grace, people on the margins, people who think they're left out, they will all hear the gospel in their own language, in a language which meets them where they are. That's the powerful teaching of the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's also a mention here of forgiving sins. That became a matter of great interest in the Council of Trent 450 years ago. Since it mentions the Spirit and forgiving sins is given to his disciples. Now, the Gospel of John gives little or no attention to the 12. The other Gospels do, but not John. So John doesn't mention that this was a gift given to the 11. Judas was gone. It says given to his disciples. And the reformers in the time of Trent said it was given to the community. More than the 11 were present. Therefore, the power of forgiving is a community power, said the reformers. But the council said, no, this was given to the 11. That becomes a matter of discussion at another time, how we got to have the sacrament of reconciliation the way we have it right now. Curiously, for discussion at another time, it has its origin somewhere in Ireland, in the monastic period of Ireland, where the auricular individual confession begins to find a pastoral presence. So let's go back and look at the teaching of Pentecost. One teaching, there are many. I just want to pick one particular thought from the Feast of Pentecost. It says the disciples were in an upper room and the doors were locked because of fear. They were fearful. And when you are fearful, you cannot preach the gospel. And Jesus knew they would be fearful. That's why he says, go back and you wait for the Holy Spirit. Until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be visited with fear. You won't understand the proclamation. You cannot live the proclamation of the gospel. If you can't live it, you cannot preach it. Let me tell you a story. It comes from Mark Nepo. It's in his book on awakening. He speaks about a friend of his named Robert, who had a fish tank. He was very attached to his little fish in the fish tank. On one occasion, he had to clean the fish tank. So he filled the bathtub, which was very large, filled it with water, and he put the fish into the bathtub while he was cleaning his fish tank. When he had finished cleaning the fish tank, he went back to the bathtub to bring the fish back to the tank. And he noticed a fascinating phenomenon. The fish were in the bathtub, confined to an area exactly the size of the fish tank. Even though it was much larger, the fish would not leave this confined space, the measure of the fish tank. And he tried everything. He tried to give them food to get them move out, but there was a threshold. And whatever way the fish were formed or malformed, they did not know how to swim beyond the threshold which was familiar to them. Was it fear? Was it the way they were formed? They didn't have a reality beyond the limits of their experience. Therefore, they were confined to the space of the fish tank. He goes on to speak about this. Perhaps it's a commentary about life. We're all frequently governed by fear. What? Fear of the church shutting us out. Fear we're not worthy. We're fear of failure. Parents are fearful they'll be failures. Young people sometimes are fearful they won't please their parents enough. They have to excel, they have to demonstrate, they have to prove themselves in order to live fully and swim more. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid to speak our minds. We might be judged. We're burdened with fear so frequently. Sometimes we're afraid of God. A misshapen understanding of a God of violence and recrimination. Elderly people sometimes fear death. I was with Cardinal Manning for many, many years. And when he was close to his death, he said frequently to me, he is not afraid of dying. He had no fear of dying. I knew that. He said that many times. But then I found out he had a fear. And his fear was dying alone. So when he was dying, he called me. I was sleeping in his hospital room. And he called me and said, I think I'm dying. Hold my hand and pray with me. And I said, yes, he has a fear. We all have fears. He has a fear of dying alone. Sometimes people are caught in a crisis in life, crisis in a marriage. They're helpless. Somehow it's something beyond their control. It's a place of darkness. Or other people are burdened with some great, great reversal in life, some change, something that somehow overpowers them. It's a place of darkness where there is little hope. They become discouraged, somehow fearful. The apostles, fearful in the upper room. They were in the tank. They couldn't move beyond a certain threshold. That happens to us. We arrive at a place in life where there's a threshold, and we feel powerless to move beyond this threshold. It can happen in myriad ways in life. How do you be reconciled with somebody who is divided from you? And you reach out and you get no response. And you become discouraged. Some people in marriage, they have reached a threshold, a place of emptiness and a place of poverty, and they are powerless to try to reform the moment. When we hit this point of darkness or discouragement or powerlessness, that's when we must come to Pentecost. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need the gift of enlightenment, of understanding. We need the gift of courage, of fortitude, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need a courage which is beyond anything the world can give us. We need an understanding which the world cannot give us. We need a spiritual insight into the condition in which we find ourselves. That's the prayer to the Holy Spirit. The call on the Spirit to say, teach me, enlighten me, empower me, allow me to see with new eyes. Give me an inner strength which I did not know I had, which is the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life. We all arrive at a place somewhere in life when we're in the tank and we hit a certain impediment. And we don't know how to get to the next place. We don't know how to free ourselves, not just to walk away, but to free ourselves interiorly, to get rid of prejudice and anxiety, to somehow let recrimination go. You don't have to get back at the other person. Be free. Let the Holy Spirit teach you a new way of understanding yourself and understanding the experience of life, which somehow visits every one of us in a mysterious divine providence. At some time, every one of us needs to call out to the Holy Spirit for a new understanding, a new prayer, a new faith, a new confidence, a new courage to say, come, Holy Spirit. Give me power. Give me understanding which the world cannot give. And when you get to that place, you will find that the gospel of Jesus Christ will speak to you in a language which you can only understand in the place where you find yourself. That's the meaning of the multiple languages. The old, the young, the struggling, the searching, the confused, whoever they are, the sinners, the people in grace. Each one of them heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in their own language, in the space in which they find themselves. A new experience of God's presence in the Pentecost visitation of the Holy Spirit. Amen.